Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Afrida Love, and today we have a very special guest. But first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just blessing us to see another day, Heavenly Father. We thank you for giving us divine recoveries, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing for us. We thank you for the things you're going to do, Heavenly Father. We thank you for blessing us to have platforms. We thank you for blessing us to have guests, Heavenly Father. And we're just asking with everything we do and say be acceptable in your sight, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And next, I would like to read a scripture before we get started from Psalms 119 and 113. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. I have read Psalms 119 and 13. May the Lord have a blessing or add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his holy word. And now the moment you have been waiting for, I'm going to introduce our guest today. He is the founder and bishop of Truth Revealed International Ministries, associate minister and pastor's assistant Calvary Holiness Church, and chief speaker and leader of that ministry. I would like to introduce to some and present to others Bishop Merton Clark. Bishop Clark, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us, and at this time I will let you take over.
Yes, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share with you and with a vast audience of people. I don't believe that none of us are here by accident, that God has a strategic plan for our lives, and he kind of orders our steps in his word. He makes us to lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside the still waters. He actually restores our mind. And so I'm so honored to be a part of this, and to everyone who is listening on today, I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray that God will cause you to prosper and to be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I'm, of course, the founder of Truth Revealed International Ministries in Palm Bay, Florida. We are tasked with four things. We're in the business of saving lives, saving souls. Secondly, we strengthen families. The family must be strengthened. In the African-American community, the family is really, really broken down and going through major, major issues right now. And even the sexual orientation of young men is being challenged because of the absence of a bona fide father. So we're in the business of strengthening families, and we shape leaders, thirdly. Leaders must be on the vice or on the wheel of circumstance, and there God molds us into what he wants us to be. So we shape leaders, and we also believe that God has caused us to strategically be manifested during this time, in this era of human history, because he wants us to serve this generation. So again, we're in the business of saving lives or saving souls, strengthening families, shaping leadership, and serving this generation. I want to share a few thoughts with you concerning winds of change. Things are happening all over the world. All over the world, things are taking place. And I want to read a passage of scripture to you in a moment. But I want to encourage you to please get a pen and a pad and take down a few notes if you can. And stay tuned, because God wants to say something special and unique to you specifically. The Logos is his word, and the Rhema is his word as well. But God speaks out of the Logos, rhema word, to really touch you right where you are. And I believe God is going to touch you. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you right where you are. So be encouraged in the Lord. Glory to God. Be encouraged to do more, to say more, to be more than you ever thought you would be. I want to draw your attention to John chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. And it reads like this. It reads like this. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." And then in verse 8, "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And God wants us to understand something about that, that when we're born of the Spirit, then the Spirit is able to blow and to influence us to do things that God would have us to do. And there should be no resistance to the blowing or the direction of the Spirit, because that which is born of flesh is flesh. Flesh will resist. Flesh is enmity against God. But that which is born of the Spirit should yield to the Spirit. Flesh will fight, but Spirit should yield. And when we're born of the Spirit of God, the wind of God, should be able to blow us into our destiny without resistance. And so be encouraged. If you're not born again, let's get born again. All it means is that we need to be born new, or we need to start fresh. And we start fresh with Jesus, basically loving him, believing in his finished work, that is the death, his burial, and his resurrection. Many people wear crucifixes and they talk about the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light. Well, many people have died for their friend, but no one has come out of the grave for their friend. What separates the Son of God, the Son of Man, the apple of God's eye, the crescendo of all, hallelujah, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, what separates him from everyone else is that he came out of the grave for you and your circumstance. It doesn't matter what it is. He came back for you. I used to be in the United States Marine Corps 30 years ago, and it doesn't mean I'm an old man, I'm just saying. I was in the Marine Corps, and one of the things that we tried to do is never leave a soldier behind. Right. You never leave an enemy behind, but you never leave one of your comrades behind. You got to pick them up and carry them. No one should be left in the field dying. Go back and get them. I'm glad that Jesus is the great rescuer, because he came back and he got me when I was stuck in the muck in the miry clay. And he pulled me up out of it and set my foot on a rock and established my going and put a new song, glory be to Almighty God, put a new song in my mouth. And so I want to encourage you also out of Psalm, the Songs of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 16. That's the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "Awake, north wind, and come, south wind, blow on my garden, that its fragrance may spread abroad." I'm talking about winds of change. And so God will allow the north wind and the south wind to intertwine and create a whirlwind. And out of that, he uses the whirlwind to blow on his garden, his beautiful, flowery, fluffy garden. Every church is his garden. All of his people are his garden, is his garden. You are a part of God's vegetation. You are part of his building. You are part of his field. Then he says, "Awake, north wind, come, south wind, blow on my garden, that its fragrance, its aromatic smell may spread abroad." God will use winds to blow through his church and through our lives, to rapture, to hoist the aromatic smell of his beauty upon us, which is his presence. And then he'll take that beauty, that smell, that wonderful smell, into distant lands for them to get a sense of how good he is. Actually, people are watching us. People are watching you, like those who are listening to me right now. There's somebody watching you right where you are. And that's why it's imperative for you to be all that you can be, all that God wants you to be, because what you do may sway them one way or the other. You are the epistle that most people are reading. They have never read a Bible, but you are the written book. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God wants his fragrance to be upon you, and he wants his Word to be made flesh in your life, glory to God. And he will take the aromatic smell of his presence from you, from his garden, from his church, from his community, out of the kingdom, and allow other kingdoms of this world to get a sense of our aroma and be attracted. Don't be dismayed when people that you've never seen before start coming into your life. Don't be dismayed when people want to put their hands in your hands, when they want to look you eye to eye and say, there's something about you that's different. Well, I believe the wind is blowing. The wind of change is taking place even now. And God wants you to get ready for it, glory to God. The wind has never come to destroy us. The wind is there to test our resolve and our foundation, glory to God. I want to encourage you. The winds of change are blowing through the church. It's blowing through your community. It's blowing through our country. Even the continent that we're on is blowing throughout this entire world, even as it were the world. Whether we like it or not, the growth and expansion of our knowledge, the expansion of knowledge in the world, is causing shifts in a variety of ways that cannot be explained and at the same time cannot be ignored. There are economic shifts taking place. The winds of change are blowing. There are social shifts that are taking place. The winds of change are blowing. There are political shifts taking place even now. In the next 10 years, most leaders that you see around the world will change.
That's right.
Many of the leadership, even in the church world, you're going to see different leaders. What are we doing to make sure that there's generational continuity between this generation and the next? This generation has cell phones. The next generation has cell phones. They don't have rotary phones. They don't have Model Ts. They don't have GTs. They have fresh vehicles. They have modern phones, iPhones, Droids, Galaxies. They are moving and shaking. They have the Internet. But what are we doing to influence them and to impact them? What kind of leaders are they going to be? Many of them don't know how to communicate. Are we challenging them to talk the King's English? Or are we just allowing them to say, what's up, dude? Mm-hmm. I believe we need to be shaping leaders for the next dimension, for the next generation. Remember, we are in the business of saving lives, strengthening families, shaping leaders, and serving this generation. And so leadership is going to change. World leaders are going to change. Major leaders around the country, Barack Obama in the next 10 years, will not be the president of the United States. But who's going to be one, the president of the United States? Will it be a female? Will it be a black man? Will it be an Hispanic person? Who's going to be the leader of the free world? Leadership is going to change. These shifts affect us one way or another. And that's why God wants us to get ready for the changes that are taking place. There's even a spiritual shift right now. People are going to churches that are dead and frigid. And, you know, my people, my few steeples and a few people, high steeple and a few people type churches, people are trying to migrate to where the word is being preached, where they're being encouraged, because there's a spiritual shift. Even leaders today have to get around other leaders to learn how to grow their ministries. The day of being isolated is over. The wind is blowing. Winds are described in the Bible as blast. The east wind is described in the Bible as hot and blasting in Egypt. It blew in the plagues. In the valley of the Euphrates River, you'll see the east wind blowing. In the land of Canaan, it's always the scripture talks about the east wind. In the city of Nineveh, you'll hear the east wind. Tempests are raging in the land of Uz because of the east wind. But the west wind is the wind that God aroused, glory to God, to blow out locusts. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 18 says, Moses then left Pharaoh. God from Zion. He left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. Verse 19, this is Exodus 10, 18 and 19. Moses then left Pharaoh and he prayed to the Lord. When you come up against a brick wall, when you got a boss who just won't ease up, you don't need to complain, you need to pray.
Amen.
And the next time you pray, you may see God do something in your life that you never thought he would do. That's the kind of God we serve. He's unpredictable. He's too high, I can't jump over him. He's too low, I can't go under him. He's too wide, I can't go around him. I must go through the door. The scripture says Moses, when he left Pharaoh, he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered. The scripture says in verse 19 of Exodus 10, and the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up his and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost even now.
That's right.
You mean to tell me we can have the kind of favor with God that when we pray, every plague, every inch of the plague from the west wind, God can send a wind through, even by his spirit, to rapture, to carry away the plague, and not 1 ounce of it be left in our lives? For instance, if there was a plague of alcoholism, you mean to tell me that God can blow westwardly in our lives, take the entire plague off, not even, and wash us so clean of it that we don't even have a desire for not one drink?
Amen.
Absolutely. You mean to tell me that God can take a bad situation that we're in as his children, if we pray to him, he can take a west wind and blow it through our lives and totally transform us and not have 1 ounce of degradation left in our lives? Is that what you're telling me? Yes, exactly. Thank you very much. That's what I'm telling you. That's the kind of God we serve, we're serving, and that's the kind of God that's blowing in our lives. I'm so excited about him. Glory to God. I'm so excited about it. And then not only is there west winds, there are north winds, which brings humidity down from the north. And every once in a while, we need a cool breeze. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's so hot. It's too hot. It's too hot for comfort. Glory to God. I got to run for shelter. I got to run for shade because it's too hot. But God blows a north wind through the north wind to cool us out, to cool us down. Blessed be his name. And then there's a south wind as well. There's this south wind that God will use to soothe us. Sometimes it's just too cold. Hallelujah. And we need God to intervene in our lives. And he will blow through a south wind. Hallelujah. Through a south wind to soothe the situation. And I want you to know, whatever wind you need, whatever you need to be soothed. Glory to God. You need a little humidity in your life. That's the north wind blowing south, and the south wind being soothed blowing north. You need a west wind to take out your plague, or do you need a east wind that kind of scorches sometime? And God will use, you don't have to pray for the east wind. He'll send it anyway to get us out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
He has a way of taking us out of the things that got us locked down. God would say, I would rather you to be hot or cold.
Right.
But if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you to be torrid or frigid, but if you're stagnant, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God didn't want us to be stagnant in what we do. Stagnant times and situations and a stagnant position or temperament in a person's life is really not healthy spiritually. So God wants us to be either torrid or frigid. If you're frigid, he can send a south wind, glory to God, to blow some warmth and soothe you and warm you up. Glory to God. If you're torrid, then he can send a north wind that will actually come in and cool you down. Hallelujah. If you have a plague, he can send a west wind to blow out the plague. But let me tell you something. He don't want you to be stagnant, because when you're stagnant, he can't do anything with you. If you're ever trying to survive and you're in the wilderness, never drink from a pond. Always try to find a flowing stream. You want to find a stream that's flowing. All rivers really have an exit point. They kind of get to the to a main body of water, some type of ocean or something of that. The Mississippi just has a way of running into the Gulf Coast. And if you find yourself in a wilderness, you want to try to get to the flowing stream, not to a pond. If you drink from a pond, you're going to hurt yourself because it breeds all kinds of parasites. Microorganisms are able to breed tadpoles. You don't want any of that swimming in your belly. But in a flowing stream, it's fresh, glory to God. And that's how God is. That's what he wants us to stay fresh. And you can't be stagnant in your life. You have to be flowing. When you're stagnant, you start breeding things. You start breeding things. You start producing things that you never, ever thought you would produce. That's why we have to keep it moving. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there's just a few more thoughts that I want to give you as it relates to the wind blowing.
Amen.
God has a way of helping his people. The Bible says in Job chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. God answered Job out of the whirlwind. Now notice, Job is hurting. He lost his children. He and his wife were on the rocks. He was in the doghouse, as it were. He lost his money. The enemy came against him like a flood, and it looks like there was no standard raised up against him. Actually, God took the hedge from around him to allow the enemy to attack Job. And Job, theologians believe, is the oldest book of the Bible. It is even older than Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Because Job is written before them. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, but Job was written before that. And so God wants us to understand that when you go through trials, you need to be able to learn from Job, learn how the oldest book teaches us to deal with storms. Now, many of us don't want a storm. I live in Florida. I had to accept the fact that hurricanes come through Florida. Tornadoes come through Florida. This is a part of my life. I can't get rid of it. I couldn't get rid of it if I tried. If I live in Florida, I got to accept that there's not only sunshine, but there's rain. There's some orange juice, but there's pain. It's not just all peaches and cream. And there's some things that are indigenous to Floridians. And every year we're threatened by hurricanes. It's a beautiful land. It's wonderful. I believe it is the pistol of the United States. Whatever happens in Florida, you'll see it flourish in the nation, glory to God. It looks like a pistol. And I'm asking God through our ministry to fire, hallelujah. There are three things that are accompanying the move of God in our lives. Number one, wind is blowing. Secondly, there's fire that's falling. And thirdly, hallelujah, glory to God, we have a new sound. There's a sound, glory to God, a distinct sound that's coming from our shout and from our praise, but also there's a movement going on. You get around a beehive, you can hear the buzz. There's a buzz going on. I'm not talking about controversy and gossip. I'm saying that there's something fresh and dynamic and vibrant that's going on in the house of the Lord. God speaks to us out of whirlwinds. And the Lord, the Bible says, and the Lord answered, or the word of the Lord came to Job out of the storm. Do you mean to tell me as you spin on the wheel of circumstance that God can allow you to hear his voice? No matter how the enemy comes against you, God can allow you to hear his voice. He can blow in a way, but in the midst of it, you can hear him speak to you. Sometimes our situation speaks louder than the voice of the Lord. But I'm here to tell you he speaks through the whirlwind. I'm here to tell you that sometimes our sicknesses and our madness speaks louder than the Lord. But God wants you to know something. Hallelujah. He wants you to know something, that his word is nigh you, even in your mouth. And he speaks out of the whirlwind. Glory to God. And I just want you to know that the Father loves you so much that he's going to help you to become all you need to be. I just wanted to say these few things to you to help you to navigate through life. The wind of change is blowing. Change and shifts are happening all over the world. Don't let the wind blow you out. Let it strengthen your root system. Let it make sure that your foundation is sure. The Bible says, he that hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds on his house on the rock. And when the rains and the winds and the floods came and beat on that house, it did not fall because the foundation was sure. Listen, my friends, This is Bishop Merton Mar Clark. And I want you to know that I appreciate you having a listening ear to the word of the Lord that comes through me. Our host is going to come back in a moment and share just a few thoughts with you. But I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And we love you so much. God bless and keep you is our prayer. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was saying something about Job.
That God